Hour number two on the program, Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. And we open up hour number two with a very special guest on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vanderbilt star women's basketball player Michaela Blakes, SEC Freshman of the Year and All-American, joins us now. Michaela, thanks so much for taking some time to be with us today. Excited to have you on.
Oh, I'm excited too. Thank you for having me.
Well, Michaela, just a couple of weeks ago, you had the opportunity to go play with Team USA in the Women's AmeriCup down in Chile, not only winning the gold medal, but also winning the MVP of the tournament. What was that experience like to be able to go down to South America, represent your country, and play against some of the other elite players around the world?
Yeah, I would say it was an unforgettable experience and something someone will never be able to take away from me, just the things I was able to learn, the people I was able to be around, and just to be in a different country representing my country. It was special. So,
well, obviously a great experience there. You also were able to travel out to Arizona earlier in the year to compete in the 3-on-3 qualifiers. How do you think these two experiences, getting to play against other elite talent around the world, has really prepared you as you head back towards your sophomore season at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, it's really preparing me just to see a lot more physicality and a lot more focus on me just with scouts. And I think it's going to be very useful this year because I know a lot of teams are going to be looking to shut me down. So just trying to figure out different ways I'm able to get myself going, playing on and off the ball. It's very valuable.
Now, Michaela, when did you reach that point of last season? Because it seemed like you really took off and you had a few 50-pointers within this last season. But when was it during that season that you figured out, hey, listen, I can play in this league and I can play at a high level?
I would honestly say my first SEC game, mm-hmm. I think I was very nervous to go into it. But, I mean, I set the freshman scoring record then. And I kind of just was like, okay, is this what the SEC is like? Just getting a feel for it. And then with my teammates, they just hyped me up the whole time as well. So, I mean, it was just like I was unstoppable. I just felt like I could do anything.
Now, what are some of the things you can take from last season, your ups and your downs, that you can sort of take into this season and build on?
Yeah, I think just continuing to just expand my game, just making reads better, being more consistent with my three-point shot. I think I get downhill really well, so just continuing to be able to do that and just keep my dribble under the basket as well. So,
now, as a young player in my day, I always looked up to someone going as I was going into college and then eventually into the NFL. So I had guys that I looked at and I looked up to and wanted to model my game after. Is there any, you know, female player or even guy player that you look at and you really study them and try to take some of what they do and implement it in your game?
Yeah, I think going to Kelsey Plum's dog camp, I've just really watched her game a lot and just tried to mirror like the way she's able to be on balance with every step. I've been watching her game a lot. And of course my brother, I've been around him my whole life. He's one of the hardest workers I know. So he's just pushing me to continue to get in the gym and just be a gym rat.
Talking with Michaela Blakes from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball here on Stillman and Company. Michaela, Derek mentions the 50-point games. You talked about your first SEC game. Plenty of other great moments last year. Did you have a favorite one from your freshman year?
I'd probably say my favorite was just to be able to hit the buzzer beater against Tennessee, given my brother hit a buzzer beater the day before, and I committed to Vanderbilt this time last year when they lost to Tennessee, so it was special.
I think that was one of my favorite moments from last year, too. exciting news a couple of weeks ago, you're going to get to start the season in Paris for the first game against Cal. What's that like as a player, knowing that you get to go experience a new culture and also get to start off your sophomore season in one of the cooler places on earth?
It's special. I mean, I'm going to be able to represent Vanderbilt in a different country. And I feel like not many teams get this opportunity, so we want to make the most of it, and we're going to be prepared for when we go out there and play.
Now, how much different is it for you, Michaela, now? You last year, you're coming in as a freshman, and, you know, your eyes are probably so wide open, and you try to take in everything. Now you're used to everything, but are you used to the people now really recognizing who you are, not just on campus, but throughout the city of Nashville and even further than that?
Yeah, I'd say no. I still get, like, surprised sometimes. Like, I'll go to the mall, and I'll have little kids come up to me, and a couple workers will be like, oh, I know who you are. Like, we watch your games, and I'm just so grateful for it because I'm making an impact on other people, so it's good.
Looking at the team coming up this year, brought in a couple of freshmen to the team, also some transfers, Aaliyah Del Rosario from LSU and Jacqueline Mwenintanda from Texas. How does the team look this year with some of those new additions as you guys try and take the next step this season?
I think we're going to be really well. We're just working, continue to build chemistry in the gym. As you said, it's sort of a new team this year, but everybody's excited. Everybody wants to be an underdog and just prove people wrong. So we should have a really good season this year.
Last one for you, Michaela. With how much you accomplished last season, what are your goals heading into your sophomore year? Obviously, being named an All-American and SEC Freshman of the Year, what are you hoping to accomplish in year two on West End?
Yeah, I think for me, just individually, I'm not going to put pressure on myself because I think that's when I tend to perform worse is if there's pressure on myself to hit this. And I think I'm going to be more team focused this year. I think we're going to be a little bit younger, but I think we can go further in the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. And I think that's ultimately my goal, just to win a championship here. So.
Now, a quick question for you, Michaela. I know that you're in your world of basketball, women's basketball, and you're concentrating on that along with school. But do you ever get a chance to go and watch some of the football games and the energy that Diego Pavia is bringing to the campus? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you're there. You see it. You feel it, especially during the football season. Even though I know you girls are preparing for the season, you got to feel it on a Friday night or Saturday after a game.
Yeah, I mean, him setting this kind of like the standard for last year, given that they were a fall sport, it sort of just fueled the rest of the teams just to continue to want to beat the number one teams, continue to beat the ranked opponents, and never to be satisfied. So I think just him being on campus last year was just a really good for us, and it was a momentum builder for us, especially us girls basketball team. We went to the games quite a bit the past season, and Coach Ralph is really close with Coach Lee as well. So we're just a really close community here.
Michaela, great stuff. Thanks so much for taking some time, and we can't wait to watch what you and the team are able to do this season.
Thank you so much.
Michaela Blakes from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball joining us again. She was just named MVP of the Women's America Cup down in Chile, helping lead Team USA to a gold medal. She's a special athlete.
Yeah, she's awesome. Started, 32 out of 33 games last year?
Yes.
Averaged close to 25 points a game. Had 2 50-pointers, right?
Yeah, 53 against Florida, 55 against Auburn.
So, I mean, there's no, hide in the background anymore. For Michaela, she's busting on the scene, and I see her doing the same things that we see some of these other female basketball players, the one we considered great players. I think she's going to usher her way into the talks of winning, Player of the Year,
right.
of the Year, SEC, even SEC Player of the Year. That's how good I believe this young lady is.
I still think she was snubbed for National Freshman of the Year. Mm-hmm. Sarah Strong at UConn was great, but Michaela Blakes was better. And playing against tougher opponents. I'll just put it out there. I watched every game she played. And heading into the season, calling the games, I knew she was good. Like, she was a top 10 recruit in the country. But until you see it in person, you don't really realize how good she is.
Okay, I want to ask you this, Jake. If she was playing at SC, one of these other, big women,
yeah.
and no slight to Vandy's women program. I think they're a really good program. But when you start, if she's at South Carolina or LSU or UConn, and she probably had an opportunity to go to those places. As good as she is, she did.
Yep.
But she chose to come to Vandy. If she was there doing what she did there here, I think her name would explode everywhere.
Right. That's what you wonder is, I'm sure there is a little bit of UConn bias when it comes to some of these voters of, they've been good for such a long time that maybe there's a little bit of you see the Husky logo next to Sarah Strong and it's
exactly.
Like, oh, we'll vote for her. But if you watched Michaela Blakes play last year, some of the plays she makes, she's getting mugged on these plays. Like, these SEC players are big, they're physical, and she was getting hit, but she would finish through contact. There was one play against Alabama heading down the stretch, and tie game, She sliced through traffic, got bumped, fell to the ground. I don't even think she could see the rim, and she put it in. She's phenomenal. If you have an opportunity, head out to Memorial Gym next season. Vandy's already announced, I think, one home game, the ACC-SEC Challenge against Virginia, and that'll be here in Nashville. So excited for the season. A big thanks to Mikayla Blakes for joining us. Excited to see what she can do in her sophomore year. Coming up next, Teron Davenport going to join us for his weekly visit to the program in the TD Power Hour. We'll have him for a full 60 minutes. We'll get what you want to ask TD as we head towards Titans training camp. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Connor Newt with you, in for Jared Stillman here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106. The game. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Big thanks to Mikayla Blakes for joining us in the last segment from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are now thrilled to be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. And a big congratulations to TD, fresh from Bristol. Congrats on the extension. Glad to have you around.
Hey, congrats, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I knew I was smelling something, man.
Low key, I'll say it now that the deal is done. They could have offered me like 8 to 10 years and I would have signed it. I want to stay here, man. This is my thing. I have three cities, New York, Philly, and here.
Yeah.
That's it, man. Mm-hmm. Those are my three cities, and make of it what you will.
Well, I know we are all thrilled to have you covering the Titans, and I know Titans fans out there are thrilled to have you sign that extension as well. We've got TD for the next hour, so if you have anything you want to ask Teron Davenport as we head towards Titans training camp next week, you can text or call. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, I want to start with the second-round pick debacle that's been going on. And it seems like it's all starting to be sorted out. But basically, the Texans signed Jaden Higgins, who is the 34th pick, to a fully guaranteed contract. And that held up 30 of the 32 second-round picks because, obviously, one guy gets a fully guaranteed contract. The next guy's going to want a fully guaranteed contract. But it seems like with the 49ers signing Alfred Collins last night, things have started to open up. We've seen a probably a dozen second-round picks signed. I would guess Femi Oladejo won't be far behind.
Yeah, he should be getting that deal done soon. You look, they report, what, in 5 days, so I would imagine something would get done. But you're right, man. I'm glad the money went to a player guaranteed and everything like
right.
that, because I've long said, like, it's crazy that NFL contracts aren't guaranteed while all these other ones are. But that being said, the Texans really threw a wrench in the whole game. And now that another deal is done, I would imagine that's going to open the door up to more getting done. And there's no signing a waiver for training camp. Like, it's, you got to be under contract to go. And they need to get Femi Oladejo out there as soon as possible, because he should be a big part of the defense.
And that's what I was saying to Jake. I understand the money part, and you gotta understand this is a business. And that comes first before anything else. And I think these guys are starting to learn that very quickly. That's why you're having your second round picks hold out the way that they are, because I'm sure there's language and everything that they want that they see. But when you look at him, he's one of those guys that can't afford to miss camps, because he's one of those guys that hadn't played many snaps at that position. He's a raw talent, has a lot of upside, but I think the longer, if indeed it does go into camp, the longer he stays out of camp, I think it's going to be detrimental to his development at the start.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the case. And I wanted to do a story about it, but we just weren't able to get it in during minicamp. But the fact of the matter is, you look at pass rushers, and especially guys who are converting the way he's converting to an edge rusher, it may take a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it depends on how the team works with the coaching staff, works with you. Whereas, okay, do you bring him in on third downs and you just say, hey, man, go get the quarterback, don't worry about nothing else? Or do you do what Denard Wilson told me they're going to do, and that's throw everything at him, see what sticks, and adjust accordingly? So that being said, to your point, because he's going to have so many assignments at a new position, he needs to be there as soon as possible.
Do you think, with that being said, TD, and you've been around this game a very long time, do you think that is something that agents need to really address to their players? Not to sort of sway them one way or another, but when you're a guy like Femi that is coming in, and yes, you are a high pick, yes, they believe you have the talent, but you got to understand, man, you haven't played this position you hadn't played it at all. Mm-hmm. And every snap you get is beneficial for you. So do you think agents should approach players from that standpoint when you're talking about holding out? Not to deter them in one way or the other, but to let them know all the cards are on the table. These are the pros and these are the cons.
As an agent, you're not just concerned with the financial part of it.
Yes.
You should be advising this young man because he is, in essence, entrusting his professional life in you. Mm-hmm. You're the guy. You're the one who has been through it and done it, not personally, but watched it happen. Mm-hmm. And so you need to impart that type of advice. Mm-hmm. To where, yeah, you know what, the money is very important, and get your money. You know what, we're going to get you your money, but let's also look at the main thing. Mm-hmm. And if you go out there and don't play well, you're not going to get a second deal, at least a monster one. So that should be the goal.
Yeah, the second round stuff, it was all – eventually somebody was going to cave on one side or the other. I know that the 49ers gave their second round pick about 10% more guaranteed than that pick last year. So it's going up, not fully guaranteed, though. The one that's going to continue to go on, I think, is Shamar Stewart in the first round. Like, I don't know how that one's going to end because it doesn't feel like – you know, with the history of the Bengals front office and ownership, I don't think they're going to blink. And it doesn't seem like Shamar Stewart's going to blink. He's been working out down at Texas A&M the last couple weeks.
Apparently, he has no intentions of going back to Texas A&M. That's what Coach Elko, I think it is.
Well, he couldn't do it unless he sued the NCAA is what I've kind of seen.
Right, right. And so the whole situation is just bad, right? Because there's another wing to this, and that's the guy who led the league in sacks last year by the name of Trey Hendrickson.
Right.
How does that guy not have a contract in place? This organization, the way they function, is very confusing to me. I understand you have a lot of money invested in the offense. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you can't stop a team from scoring 35 and you score 30, guess what? You lost the game.
0-17.
Right. So they better figure something out because they don't have a pass rush as of right now.
Right. And, you know, TJ Watt just signed that monster deal. You wonder how that affects Trey Hendrickson. Not that he's going to get a deal bigger than that, but you would expect Trey Hendrickson wants something in that range, right? Having just led the league in sacks, he's a little bit older, but, like, he's probably going to want $100 million.
And this is the dumb part. I mean, this thing is checkers, not chess. You know TJ Watt has a deal coming up. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? Why the heck are you going to wait for it to happen? And now guess what you have to do? To your point, you have to at least meet it, probably top it, because last time I checked, the guy who led the league in sacks last year was Hendrickson, not Watt.
That's what D-Mace and I were talking about, is it's not who's best, it's who's next. And that's how it goes. That's why it's always a smart thing to sign the guy early.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sign him early. And eventually, it's going to look like a bargain. Like, everybody looked at the Calvin Ridley contract last year and said, man, the Titans overpaid. Look now. He's like the 17th or 18th highest paid wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that's what happens. Like, each deal sets the floor for the next one.
Right. The second-round pick thing always seemed like it was going to work itself out, but the Bengals, they've got some issues on their hands.
Yeah, they've always had issues, Cincinnati. Camp starts, what, in we got, what,
five days? Yeah, they report in 5 days.
Wow.
Ooh, man, it's come upon us very quickly. Mm-hmm. Now that we have five days left before camp, we've seen Cam Ward and his videos that he's put out. He's out there working. What are you expecting to see early on from this Tennessee Titans? And I'm talking about in camp, as far as
in camp,
you know, players, how they approach this, some of the battles that are going to happen within camp, stuff like that.
Yeah, I expect to see mistakes from Cam Ward, mm-hmm. and it's okay. Make the mistakes early, learn from them. From what I've been told, he's not a guy that repeats the same mistake twice. So hey, go ahead and get some scars now.
Unload
you
the
know
clip.
What I mean?
Yeah,
unload the clip. That's a good thing. So I expect to see that, but I do think that there are other position battles to watch. And quietly tight end, I think, is one that is going to emerge as something. I believe Gunnar Helm is nice, man.
Yeah.
I know he went in the fourth round, but he's nice. I'm not comparing greatness. I'm just comparing, and not even style, but I'm just comparing ability. Gunnar Helm is decent size, good size, but he's not fast. He's not quick. He just knows how to get open. Mm-hmm. There's a guy that played for the Cowboys that had the same knack, just able to use his body and use leverage. You know, you're running that in-breaking route or that, and you release up the field and you get that move to the outside and you bump him with the shoulder and then you break back. It's like those little savvy things that Jason Witten used to do. I've seen Gunnar Helm do the same thing. Again, I'm not comparing him. I'm not saying he's going to be Jason Witten, but I think that ability just to get open without any superb skills that stand out physically is a big thing.
Do you think that's one of the positions, TD, that could really help Cam Ward immediately? Like you'll see it. If those two guys or if that group, he and that group connects, you're going to see it immediately.
Yeah. I actually, you know, I need to email ESPN Research and find out the separation per target that Gunnar Helm had, because I'm curious about that. Because here's the thing. If you could get that quick separation, it's going to help Cam Ward so much. And I asked him what are some of the things that he's really had to adjust to. Obviously, the speed. We know that. Mm-hmm. But he made a good point. He talked about the hashes, right? And so,
yeah, that's big.
Yeah, I mean, in the league, the hash marks are closer together, and when you're spotting the ball, typically it's on the middle of the field,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Whereas, like in college,
you get that
boundary side, and they like to spread things out anyway, and so it will work for him. So, I think when you have a guy that could be effective in the middle of the field, I think that's really going to help him because that's an area where he likes to attack, but that's the main area where there's a big difference for him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your questions in for TD. We'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. Again, TD on for an hour. We'll have until 5:15 for the TD Power Hour. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. And we've got Teron Davenport on until 5:15 for the TD Power Hour. Don't miss out on some of Nashville's best deals. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals now, and you can purchase half off on gift cards for Single Tree Barbecue, Streetcar Taps and Garden, 312 Pizza, and many more. TD, you talked a little bit about Gunnar Helm.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be one of the guys a lot of people have their eyes on in training camp. Another guy that Connor and I were mentioning yesterday that I know you're high on is James Williams. And that inside linebacker group is going to be really interesting because outside of Cody Barton, there just isn't the next guy in there that's clear.
Right.
What do you like about James Williams as he continues to make that transition over from safety heading into his second training camp?
I like James Williams because he's a guy, like, if I was a coach, before every series, I'd be like, hey, James, come here, J-Dub. Let me talk to you. I'll put my arm around him, and I'll say, listen, all I want you to do is just go out there and bust stuff up. That's what I would say to him, because he's one of those aggressive, violent, downhill players. And it's pretty cool that he's a former safety, right? And so even though you're still playing in the middle of the field as a safety and an inside backer, things get up on you a little bit quicker. So he's still adjusting to that, because remember, he just switched to safety at the Senior Bowl last year. So it's still a process. But I love the way he's able to diagnose stuff and go get it, and he blows stuff up. Now, granted, he'll get misdirected, and he'll hit the wrong gap, and you know, Jonathan Taylor, a break a 70-yard run like he did last year. But if you could harness that and get it to be a little more disciplined, I think you have something. But I will say this. There are two other guys that you cannot forget about. And obviously, like Cedric Gray, he was a fourth-round pick last year. I think Cedric Gray is a very smart linebacker, but I'm tired of Otis Reese the fourth getting slept on.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and Baldy did a really good breakdown. He showed the way this dude is, and he's another, you know, convert. from safety. But he showed how he was able to kind of like – he's a lot like David Long. Not as good, but a lot like him as far as like undersized, but always finds his way to the football.
Now, with all that being said, what do you think it was last year with the defense, TD? Because they were good in some aspects. They could have been better in a lot of others, mainly, stopping the run. But they were put in some not good positions by the offense. And we all know the one game, Detroit, where it seemed like Detroit played on the other side of the 50 the whole game.
Yeah.
And it's hard to stop a high-powered offense like that when they only have 50 yards to go.
Yeah.
But what do you think it was? Was it the injuries in the secondary, mainly with Legarius Sneed, that sort of dampened the season in regards to the defense? Because, again, in some categories, they were pretty good. But then in others, they really struggled. And mainly it was the turnovers.
Yeah, the turnovers, the inability to create them. But I think you got to look at the running game. Mm-hmm. And you guys know, I'm as big on Jeffrey Simmons, probably bigger than anybody. You know, I really like Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
But there were a few times where he got blown out of. You go to the Detroit game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have – no, it was Ragnow, the center. I'm talking about, hey, man, no permission in the club with those Timberlands and the T-shirt on. You got to get up out of here. He escorted Simmons like 5 yards into the end zone. If guys are getting blown up front, the wall's not set. And it goes back to the basic Vrabelism. The wall is not set. And then when the wall is not set – there were times where guys didn't swarm to the football and then also didn't have discipline in finding their way to the football. And then guess what? At the back end, you had safeties not getting there and doing what – because I think Darryl Worley on that Jonathan Taylor one that I referenced, I think Worley had a bad angle on the back end. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor was out the box to the end zone. So it's a mixture of all those. You talk about that Detroit game. I'm trying to look it up as we talk, but – Jahmyr Gibbs had a run to the left. The edge wasn't set. I don't remember who didn't set the edge, but he got into the alley. And when you get a guy that has Olympic-level speed like him, deuces, and that's what happened.
You mentioned setting the wall. A big part of that's going to be T'Vondre Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, there was a lot of good from T'Vondre Sweat. And I know some people will say he didn't hit the quarterback very much, but I think there were a lot of games where you could see that he was a big factor. Other games, maybe he faded away a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you expect from T'Vondre Sweat in year two?
Well, I think now that he's been there and done that, I think that's going to help him. I think I really want to get into what he did this offseason. And because I asked him about being able to train for football instead of the combine and all that stuff. And see, T'Vondre Sweat's a jokester. And he was like, oh, man, it's not different. And he just started laughing. I'm like, bro, I know it's different. Like, come on. But I just want to see, like, how the training is different and how that benefits him. They said they wanted him to, work on the conditioning even more this offseason because the expectation is going to be for the snaps to ramp up even more. And last year it was good as it is. So to get it better, I think the main thing with him, just like everyone else, like the big thing is a coordinated pass rush. Right, so they got to be able to push the pocket from the interior. The edge guys got to be able to make sure that they're disciplined in their pass rush, don't overrun the quarterback, but just enough to flush him into the interior or the interior getting that push to flush him into the outside rush. So it's all those things. The objective is to get quicker and find ways to get off the ball faster to get to the quarterback because they had so many pressures last year. I don't remember what the exact number is, but they had a lot of pressures that weren't converted into sacks.
Yeah, well, they need to get more of those, TD. Mm-hmm. Now looking at Big Sweat, I've always wondered with him, where did that stigma of him come from? Meaning, can he play all the snaps? Because when I look back at Texas, it seemed like he didn't have trouble at Texas, you know, playing, you know, half the game or all the game. He wasn't one of those guys because each time that I watch a Texas game, they always talked about Sweat, and not in a way of, hey, the big fella can't keep up. He was a dominant force in the middle.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how did that stigma get on Sweat that, oh, he's too big. We're worried about him coming in and being able to play, you know, majority of the snaps, where he came in and did just that, played majority of the snaps.
It was a lot of people who didn't watch him. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happens. Like,
because that was never a thing, when I watched him. It was never a big thing.
People just saw the weight, and they were like, he may not be able to play every down. Yeah.
And you would see him, because there were a few times like where he was running down, running plays to the the opposite side. That's really what it was, a bunch of just stereotyping. You see the big fat guy, and you're like, oh, ain't no way he could. But he did it.
Right. I mean, look at the Bengals fumble return. He was rumbling and bumbling down that sideline trying to take it all the way to the house. So
I'm not sure if he'd have been able to make it the whole way, man. I probably would have took my bets on Big Sweat just falling down.
That would have been an all-time.
If he would have got an open field, I don't know.
I'm saying, dude, that little Hesse he put.
He put a good move on it.
And the stiff arm, too. I was like, look at Big Sexy over there. You know what I mean? Or what does
Meatloaf?
He calls him Meatloaf.
If he had taken that all the way, the big man balling with Marcus Spears the next week would have been an all-timer.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I text Spears after the game. I was like, look, man, I got your big man balling. Watch this. And sure enough, T-Sweat was on there, man. He didn't even know what big man balling was. So when I told him on Wednesday, you know, I showed him the video. He was like, oh, and then he was on.
Titans hoping Sweat can get on there again this year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, get your questions in for TD. You can text or call our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next on the TD Power Hour, it is the end of list season. Connor and I, for the last 2 weeks, have been going through all of the lists that you possibly could find about the NFL. We'll ask TD about some of the most recent lists involving the Titans, Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Connor Newt. We're in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinitix Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps mom close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support bind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.com. Or Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you. Jared out until next week here on Stillman & Company. Connor, this song will always remind me of one of those 2Ks. Like NBA 2K13.
This is prime Jay-Z.
It was the Jay-Z open when he did the whole soundtrack for that. That was a great one. Speaking of Connor, Gunner says that you should have been sent to SEC Media Days to cover Kentucky.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I was told SEC Media Days would be too boring for me, so I didn't get to go.
You that turned up, man?
Yeah, I wanted to go, but they told me no.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your questions in for Teron. If you have any thoughts on the Titans heading into training camp, just 5 days until players report, which means we're wrapping up list season, which is what I think the last 2 weeks before training camp is, where all of the outlets put out their rankings of coaches and players and everything. TD, the top 10 positional group rankings have been coming out from Jeremy Fowler at ESPN. Mm-hmm. And the one that came out today was interesting. Legarius Sneed still listed as an honorable mention, despite only playing five games this year for the Titans. I know that there's obviously a lot of external factors of how much he will be on the field this year with the injury and everything else, but do you think he can still be a top 15 cornerback like he's listed in this article from ESPN?
I don't want to say yes. I'll say it this way. If he could get back to somewhat of a resemblance of the player he was a year and a half ago, yes. But I don't know that he could do that. And you got to look at this, right? Because you have the injury, you have the load management, and then you also have
the
situation
legal
over his head. So there's like he got a triple play that I wouldn't want.
It is crazy to think, I said this to Connor, I think, a year and a half ago, he punched that ball out from Zay Flowers at the goal line to send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. And the argument was kind of him or Sertan for the number one cornerback in the league.
Think about that.
And a year and a half later, here we are wondering if he's even going to be on the field this year.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate because you don't know if he – Is he the guy? Is he still the guy that was in Kansas City, or is he a different player? We didn't get a chance to see it. Why? Because the injury happened so quickly, and even before the injury, I don't think he was playing to the caliber, at least that he wanted to play to, and the coaching staff thought he would play to when they signed him when they got him in a trade from Kansas City. So hopefully he can be one of those guys that can, you know, be more of what he used to be rather than who he is. Because I think, and TD, tell me if I'm, you know, off base with this. I think a lot of, you know, that defense, the way they want to play it, the attack type of nature, because I look at whether it be now Seattle with McDonald there or Baltimore, period, there's a lot of stress put on their corners to be able to cover.
Yep.
And if you can't do that, it's going to make those guys, if they're not having a good game, it's going to magnify it even more.
Yeah.
And we saw Jeffrey not have a Jeffrey Simmons season, a good season, but it wasn't what he's put on paper, you know, in previous years. Sweat was a rookie. You see how not having that secondary, not having L'Jarius Sneed fully healthy and ready to go, how it truly affects that defense and how Denard Wilson wants them to play, because he's going to put a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah, and the front end always helps the back end and vice versa, too. And the thing I always think about and the way I looked at this when they signed Chidobe Awuzie, when they drafted Jarvis Brownlee Jr., when they traded for L'Jarius Sneed, and sign him to that extended deal. These are all guys, like, they like to have those conversations at the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean? They like to talk to the receivers, and not verbally. They want to talk to them with confrontation from their hands to the receiver's body, and that tends to slow things down. Like, when you had that chatter on the outside, that gives the guys up front a little bit extra time. It didn't really happen as much. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big part of the issue with the sacks not being there. So if they could get those guys to get better at that, more consistent with that, then that will help the pass rush.
L'Jarius Sneed, again, listed as an honorable mention in the top 10 cornerbacks by ESPN this week, obviously polling executives, coaches, scouts, et cetera. The wide receiver list, Calvin Ridley did receive votes on there.
As he should, man. Ridley's a monster, man.
I think it's fair to expect a big year from Calvin Ridley because towards the end of last season, it felt like he was getting comfortable, and you could see the wide receiver one potential. And now I think it's also fair to expect that the quarterback play is going to be better this year.
Yeah, and here's the thing to me. There were some – actually, I was just telling this story in Bristol. Kaharski, the time where Ridley was about to, you know, choke the life out of him, it was because of frustration – that Ridley had about being the number one option on a lot of plays early in the game, and he wasn't getting targeted. I don't think Cameron Ward is going to put him through that same situation. I don't know what it was that was causing Levis to go away from where he was supposed to go with the ball, because Ridley was open on a lot of them.
It was hot. It was D-hop. Especially early on.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'm not saying that D-Hop went and said, throw me the ball, but the previous season he got used to D-Hop.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Excuse me, his first big game was with D-Hop.
Hop had two touchdowns.
Exactly.
Two of the
four. When you, as a rookie, when you have success with a guy early on, fast, quick, you're always going to go to that person. Now.
Yeah.
You're always going to look at him. And when they brought Ridley in, I said that was going to be a potential problem, not because I thought D-Hop was going to make it. It was just he was so used to being the guy, and now you got another guy coming in. And now the quarterback has to figure out, how do I distribute the ball? And Will Levis couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And coincidentally, when D-Hop was traded, you saw Ridley really have an uptick. And, of course, you know, a lot of that Mason Rudolph was getting in, too. But that's a great point. So I think you also look at this time last year, the conversation was, why can't Will Levis and Calvin really connect on a deep pass?
We're not having that conversation now.
Not having that now. Because I know one thing, when they started to do third down period and Denard Wilson said, I'm throwing all of Nashville at you, I saw Cam Ward communicate with the O-line, change the protection, and I saw him look at Ridley. And Ridley looked back at him, and I saw Ridley. So he was like, Ridley was kind of like outside of the numbers, and he took a couple steps inside, right? Mm-hmm. And then they both nodded to each other. The protection was there. Ridley did what he does, and Ward unleashed a bomb, and it was like a 70-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to see. And that's why I think Ridley is going to be better. But then also, a lot of times, people don't understand like how mental this game is. If you talk to Ridley now as opposed to last year, he's so much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much, and he's smiling so much more. And he just – everything about him just says, like, I'm a guy that's in a good place. And I think that's something to be positive about. We'll see how it fully transfers to games. But then not to mention, you know, the young fella had a baby recently too. So now you got another why. So I would actually venture to say that Ridley would be a good pick later in your fantasy drafts.
Well, Jeff Simmons was telling the story of that play on Good Morning Football today. I don't know if this is accurate because obviously I wasn't out there. But, TD, was it the same play where Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons were going back and forth at each other?
Yeah.
And Cam Ward's getting the call from Brian Callahan. He's like, I got it. Don't worry about it. And then he threw the 80-yard bomb.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it was funny because Callahan said – he told Ward, he was like, what do you want me to do? Like, do you want me to let you go ahead and keep talking that talk and then give you the play? Or how he's, and he said, I never saw a guy that could have his brain in two places
right.
like that. And that is pretty impressive. However, I wouldn't recommend that
the
time. You know what I mean? But because you do got to focus on the task at hand.
But I think you can see the confidence in not just Cam Ward, but I think in Ridley. Because you say now he's what? I think it's two reasons. One, now that you're in the offense, now you feel completely comfortable because now you got a feel of what the quarterback, what the offensive coordinator loves to call, how he wants you to run it, how you can kind of manipulate it a little bit. But now I think he truly believes whether Cam Ward pops off the scene the first year or he just develops gradually. I think Calvin Ridley believes he has a bona fide quarterback now.
Yeah,
and he
definitely
can go out there and just play now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he would never say it. I don't think he believed that about Will Levis. Hell, the city didn't believe it about Will Levis. But I don't think it's hard for me to believe that he believed that Will Levis was that dude.
Yeah, and you know, to your point about second time in an offense, something Will Levis talked about, to finally be able to have, I forget the exact phrase, but in essence it was like to go have the elevator go up a little bit higher because of knowing the offense. And, I mean, it's unfortunate for him because you go back to, sophomore year, he's had a different offensive coordinator every year. And we know that he's a perfectionist, too, so it's like there's a lot going on. But, I mean, look, the league doesn't care about that. That's why Cam Ward is here, and it's time to go. But I do think Levis, I would like to see him get an opportunity somewhere.
Levis will play in the league a long time. Will he be a starter? Like an everyday starter for a long period of time? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think if he wants to – if he doesn't get hurt, but if he wants to, I think he could play in this league for a very long time.
Right. Yeah. I just think he needs a change of scenery. And Connor and I made the comparison yesterday that keeping Will Levis on this roster is like inviting your ex to the wedding. It's like you thought you were going to propose to Will Levis, but you know something went wrong. You broke up, and now you've proposed and you've met the actual one, and you're you don't want to invite the ex to the wedding.
Well, the bad part about this one is that you still basically kind of sort of married to the person over here.
Yeah, I got to finalize that divorce. Yeah,
exactly. little alimony.
Take
Will Levis
to that Coldplay concert right there.
Oh. That story is crazy.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Non-sports story making it into sports.
That was, the reaction, if they had just played it cool, no one would have known anything. But guy hit the deck, and now it's probably the most viewed video on social media today.
If he'd have just said, hey, just waved
right,
and went about his business, well, maybe he shouldn't have been there with her.
Above all else.
He shouldn't have been there with her.
There were
the
a lot
place.
Of bad decisions,
exactly.
But that was the first
that
one.
That was the first decision.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your questions in for TD. We will get to them coming up next. You can text or call our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Derek Mason, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.